Good morning. The reading for this morning is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, starting at verse 1. Generosity encouraged. And now, my brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonia churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in his service to the saints. And they did not do this as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. So we urged Titus, since he had earlier made it a beginning, to bring also to completion the act of grace on your part. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in his grace of giving. I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. This ends the reading.
I'd like to invite the children to come down if you would.
Come on down. That's good. Come on. How are you guys today? Keep coming. Keep coming. That's good. You can sit right there. Sit on the floor with the kids. Either one's fine. I have a job for you kids today. All right. I need your help. All right. And it's to help the big people understand the sermon. Okay. So I brought a bunch of candy today, but it's going to be your job to give it away to the big people. Okay, so you can take one or two bags on me, and you just start giving it. Just give it to the big people. And sometimes you have to, some of them are in the middle of the aisle. You might have to throw it to them. Just go, catch. All right, can you do that for me? Can you all do that? Okay, good. Because today's sermon's all about giving, all right? Not about taking. So I know usually you guys get candy, but today you're going to give it away. So that's really nice of you to do that. You ready for this? Good, good, good. Good, here it comes. Here we go. Come on in. Grab a bag or two. Start giving, running it out there. Come back and get more. Just grab a bag or two. Go ahead, bag or two. Leave some for the little kids. Little kids. And give it away. Go give it away to some of the big people. Go give them away. Run around the church. Keep running around the church. Yeah, yeah, one for mommy, one for daddy. Look at that, yeah. She's got it down. Go give it away, honey. Go give it to one of your uncles or aunties. Give it to grandpa. No, no, it's all right. Don't worry about it. They got to come back up anyway. There's one more. Yeah, did you get some way in back? Get some way in back. Wave your hands so that they know. All right, I should go get some more, huh? Did you give it all away? Got it. Good. Come on back. Come on back. All right. That's all. They gave it all away. Oh. There we go. Good. Thank you. Come on back. Thank you. Did you know that one of the things that God works in our hearts is an ability to give things away? Do you know what most people do? What would you usually like to do with candy? Is that what you do with candy when you get it? You like to hang on to it? Open it up? That's what I do with candy. Did your mom have to teach you this word? Shh. What's the word? Share. Oh, did your mom have to teach you that word? Share with your little brother. Share with your sister. Share with your mommy. Yes, share with your mommy. We have to learn that. But here's what's really neat. God wants to send his Holy Spirit so that we can learn to give things away. And we're going to talk about that in the sermon today. And the only way I was sure that you'd understand it is if you gave all your candy away and then you got to go sit back down. So what I'm hoping is that maybe somewhere in the church there'll be someone near enough to you, maybe, that hasn't eaten it already. So, you got that? You get to go sit back down. I have no treat for you. You gave it all away. Thank you. Oh, wait. Don't give it yet, moms and dads. Don't. All right. Oh, wait. There we go. Go sit back down, honey. She's looking at me. Well, it's the first time. I don't get this guy. Mom, what'd this man do? Aha. Now, someone grabbed it, Tara. This giving away is called a gift. Isn't that wild? You understand it, right? Every one of us understands when you get that favorite cookie, that favorite thing, you know, share, you break off this part, then you want the one with the most M&Ms in it, the most chocolate chips, or you might be the only one that thinks like that yet, you know? You always think like that, and you break off your portion, your part, or whatever it's going to be, and that's the significance of it. And so we understand this process, this giving away when you get a little older, or if you got it for free, it's a little easier to give away. Or whether you didn't have to invest in it much, it's a little easier to give away. We were talking about joyfully having our possessions taken when people became saved, and we said, ooh, that joyful part sounds really tough. You know, it's one thing to just give an offering or a portion. It's another thing to think, and they took my house, and I lost my job. And, you know, everything that you think of in terms of a possession, you know, that passage in Hebrews where you speak of this joyfully letting go and releasing, that's no small task. And so in this text that we're studying here in 2 Corinthians, he speaks of it, that this gift of giving, this joyful ability to release, and more importantly, not only the ability to let go, but the blessing that comes from letting go. Was that easy or hard, kids? Talking to the kids right now. Here we go, kids. Was it easy or hard to give it away? It was hard, wasn't it? Would you like someone to give you a little bag full? Huh? Or a half a bag or share? Yeah, come on, be honest. Yeah. Now, let's see, if you gave it to an adult nearby you, they might be willing to share what's left with you. Otherwise, I got some for you at the end of church. Don't worry, you'll all get your bag by the end of church, okay? So, that's the thing I wanted to help us begin to understand. Let's look at this text. What struck me about it is that we frequently, as pastors, use this as the why don't you open up your wallets and give more to church kind of thing. I would do that if the church was a different one. I would say open up your wallets. That church over there needs help. Those people over there are hurting. I think that's one kind of giving, and that's what I liked about the way the Apostle Paul did it in this section. He is asking for giving and money. He's not asking it for himself. He's not asking it for the Corinthian church. He's asking for the churches that are persecuted and beaten down, primarily the church in Jerusalem where the confiscation of their property has taken place and their livelihoods have been stolen from them. And some of those situations exist. And here he goes about, he says, here's these Macedonian Christians, this group of Christians, and look at what it says there in that first section, if you got your Bibles open, verse 2. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy, unlimited joy, and their extreme poverty, all those came together, okay, out of this unbelievable persecution, this overwhelming joy that they had in the presence of God in their life, and out of their extreme poverty. These aren't people who have got the money. These are people who you would say don't have the money. So you have this church over here, and you picture this imaginary church over here. The average income of this person is $12 a week. And you go, wow, how do they live? And you got this sense of they have nothing. You know, they're so poor they can't even feed themselves. And yet in this presence, in this ability to live, they open up the floodgates of their hearts and they're releasing this stuff. So Paul addresses it like this, says, most severe trial, overflowing of joy, extreme poverty, all came together in this unbelievable generosity. This unbelievable generosity. When was the last time you were generous? Did it feel good? I can't think of a time when I was actually generous, not doing it for show. You know, you're just actually generous, where it didn't feel great. It feels good. But this is different. This is a generosity that says, I'm going to release this, and I don't even know if I have enough gas in my car to get home. I'm going to release this, and I don't know if I have enough food in the house to feed the family this week. This is a release of something way beyond that. Paul was stunned by it. I mean, Paul, who himself had given up everything to be an apostle of God, who had been thrown in jail, who had sacrificed gift upon gift and thing upon thing, he's overwhelmed by these people. It's like when you go to Africa, when I'm sitting there and they got nothing, and they come there generously giving things that they had to make with their hands during the week, the cloth that they had to weave, a chicken they had to raise, and they come and they bring that, and you're looking at these people going, you have nothing, you don't even have shoes on the feet of all your children. And they're giving things away, and you're overwhelmed because you go home and I go home, and I bet you have more than one or two or five pair of shoes in the closet, don't you? And you go, I can't even relate. Here's Paul, this sacrificial man of God, this individual, and he's just stunned. More than we could have ever dreamed, the Holy Spirit of God just was released in these people's lives. And I'm going, one of the things that you and I have to understand is Paul is not doing this to make us feel guilty. I can easily turn this into some kind of guilty thing. When was a lot, you know, I don't want to do that. If I do it, please forgive me. It's not what I want to do. Here's what I want to do. I want to go, the Holy Spirit moved on this group, these individuals, with such force, with such joy, with such power, that they were able, out of their poverty, to release super abundantly, more than you could ask or imagine. Out of their poverty. So he goes on, and watch what does here. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. It's as simple as, here's the need. Give what you can. Bam, this thing opens up. And Paul is being blessed by it. You have to understand, he's using it not to because he's talking to a congregation. The Corinthians had already opened their hearts. They were already generous people. So Paul's not doing this to guilt trip them. He's going this, and as he does this, he says, look, and he goes on, he says, entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. You understand, like I said before, money issues. Your money issues are never financial. They're always heart problems. If you don't have enough money, you have a heart problem. Now, I don't want to make that so absolute that you miss the real point. The real point is that I got to have, right? I want that new this, or I want that new that, and you fill in the blank. And then you have to have this, and then you borrow money for that, and you go here and you go there, and pretty soon, what has happened is your heart's led you into debt. Your heart's led you into situations that you never should have been wanting or needing or desiring in the first place. And you really aren't any happier than you were before you got the new couch, car, whatever you want to fill it in. Because your heart never was touched. The problem isn't what you own. It isn't what you're able to buy. The problem is what goes on between your ears and inside your heart. And your problem is relationally with God when you start to get priorities mixed up and you start relying on things and stuff and possessions to bring you satisfaction and joy. When you start focusing on the wrong thing, you get this whole thing mixed around. And so here's Paul saying, look, here's an example. Something went right in their heads. Something went click. Something filled them with the power of God, the Holy Spirit. It connected. And they not only gave beyond what they were, please take more. Take more. But you don't have anything. Take it. God will take care of it and supply it. It was that hard attitude. Paul isn't stunned by the money. He's stunned by the change of heart. I mean, isn't that really so many times what we're looking for as we deal with the people in our own life or a church in our own life? I want real heart people that mean what they're saying. And here's Paul going, I stand in awe of what these Macedonians did. God connected into their world and they were so overjoyed. They pleaded with us to take it all. And we said, no, give it back. We can't take this. We can't take it. God will take care of it. Take it. And they were living on the edge in such confidence and faith that Paul is built up and nurtured. And so here he comes to the Corinthians. He's looking at them now. He goes, you can't believe what that's like. You can't believe what that feels like. You can't believe what that looks like. You can't believe that. So much so that Paul says, I'm going to tell you this story. And I'm hoping, watch what he does here. I'm hoping that the same spirit that caught them, that same connection that was finally made, connects in your heart so that, not that he can get money, but so that you can experience what I experienced in watching the power of God work in the lives of people to change the circumstances in which they live and have their hearts ultimately change for all time. He goes on. Watch what he says here. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave them some, sorry, let me go back one. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do so as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. So we urge Titus to go and talk to you guys this same way. Now, the thing that Paul discovered, it's like so many things. I remember the first time I went to a Promise Keepers conference. 70,000 men lifting their hands, praising God. Just men. Acting like men. Tough guys, big guys, small guys, young, old, everybody you could imagine. Seeing men cry. Seeing men stand strong. Listening to a man get up and talk about his love of Jesus. And you sit there as a young man, I was just young at the time, and I'm overwhelmed by this awesome presence of the power of God to show men what men are supposed to be like. And you're listening to this guy talk about 45 minutes or an hour about what it really means to love his wife. What it really means to give up his life to be obedient to the Lord. What it really means to learn how to worship as a man. What it really means to lead a family. What it really means to give up yourself for the sake of. What it really means, that speaker after speaker, you just sit there with your mouth open sometimes, just being overwhelmed by the power and the move of the Holy Spirit, and you come away, or I would come away from that conference going, you have to go. Not because I want to make you go or because I want you to support this program, but because I want you to feel the same overwhelming presence and the power of the Holy Spirit when 70,000 or 100,000 or when I went to Washington, D.C., a million men figure it out. And they start to stand up like men. We're walking down in the subway section, which is a huge I don't know what to call it, almost like a coliseum underground with all the subway stations going in and out, trains going in and out. And these men, hundreds and thousands of them, streaming down these tunnels, singing praise songs to God, reverberating through the whole walls of Washington, D.C. And I'm going, I can't tell you what that's like, but if you've ever tasted that, you will never forget it. And here's Paul going, I can't tell you what it was like to watch these people. I couldn't believe what I was watching, but you've got to taste it. I want you to taste it. I want you to see it. I want you to feel it, because nothing else compares. You can't live on one thing I'm excited about. You can't live on somebody else's enthusiasm. You can't live on somebody else. I use the analogy of somebody else kissing your wife or your girlfriend and saying, wow, she's a great kisser. You ought to do it yourself. Here he is. He's going, God kissed me over here, and I can't tell you what that was like, but I want God to kiss you too. And so when he takes this whole concept of giving, he releases it into this whole understanding of the power and moving of the Holy Spirit in your life until you are set free, until you taste something that you've never tasted before. And so what Paul is trying to encourage them to do as he releases, and that's why he sets for up in this last little bit there, the example of Jesus, and he says, look at this example of Christ. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich. He sets that up. He says, look at the example. Here he is, he surrenders everything. He lets it all go. And in the letting of that go, you receive the wealth. You receive the forgiveness. You receive the mercy. You receive the blessing. And at the same time, here's Christ, and you understand that whole ministry he had, and celebrating the very fact that you now will be in the presence of God. And so Paul's putting this together for us, not as a call to be givers of money, but as a call to have even the giving side of your heart surrender to God. Little kids had to give their little snack away today. All right? Maybe they got one, maybe they didn't get one back. Remember, kids, I'll give you one after church. You remind me, okay? Unless you already got one or two. All right, good. But you'll get yours after church. But the point ultimately is, here's Paul speaking to these people, talking about the move of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going, you cannot live on what somebody else says the presence of the Spirit is like. You cannot. You have to know, you have to taste. And this is not turning Christianity into an experiential thing, but the truth is, if you don't experience what Paul saw in the awesome presence and working of God in the Macedonian church, if you don't experience what I'm trying to tell you about when I see 70 or 100,000 men worshiping God, and everything about me as a person, a man, a Christian, is just being laid on the line there, and I'm just overwhelmed by the work of the Holy Spirit. You could feel the move of the Spirit just run across that auditorium or in the middle of that stadium. All right? It wasn't a wave. You'd feel it like it was a wave, though. And here the Spirit just was moving on people, calling men to righteousness, calling them to integrity, calling them to purity, calling them to walk away from things like pornography, calling them to stand their ground to be righteous men again. And I'm going, that power and that move of the Holy Spirit is exactly what Paul is addressing here in this particular section. Excuse me. God wants you and I to know the power of his presence and to taste him personally. You'd be stunned by how quickly, like a marriage, where you just stop holding, taking each other's hand, you just stop caring, stop saying I love you, stop doing the things that marriages were meant to do. And you can be surprised by how quickly two people that said passionately in love, that everyone said, oh, get a room kind of an attitude when you were young, and that kind of stuff, now look at you and say, what's happening to you? The same thing happens in your relationship with God and the Holy Spirit. You begin to drift, and pretty soon that drifting becomes comfortable, and you lose the taste of the freshness of the work of the Spirit in your life. And God's calling you. He's saying, come back. You need this presence. You need this experience. You need this power. You need this grace. You got to taste it, because the challenges that are in front of you, like the Macedonians, their lives didn't suddenly get easy. They weren't suddenly made rich people, at least in terms of financially rich. They still were dealing with poverty and persecution and difficulty, but they were different people. You couldn't hold them down. You couldn't shut them up. You couldn't keep them back. That miracle manifesting in the releasing and the giving showed forth where Paul then challenges and encourages the Corinthian church in their experience of that. Just the way Christ gave it all up, so that you and I could know heaven. Pray with me if you would. Heavenly Father, whatever way you choose to reach into our hearts today, please do it. Whatever heart has been distanced and whatever area of our hearts we have allowed to grow distant from our relationship with you, turn it back around today, Lord. Help bring our relationships back under your control. Help bring our private time back under your control. Help bring our thinking and our imagining back under your control. Help bring our marriages under your control, Lord. Help our children to be touched by your Spirit and their hearts to be brought back under your control. And Heavenly Father, as you have testified through the Macedonians of things way beyond our conception and understanding, we pray that there would be a fire, a burning, a testimony that would grow within this fellowship, individual upon individual, group upon group, family upon family, until your testimony alone bears witness of the gift of giving, the gift of living, of loving, of forgiving, and all the rest of them, Lord, until they all manifest in abundance in accordance with your will. Lord, cause us to be men and women who have learned the ability to surrender, to lay down all things into your hands. And in that, Lord, help us to taste what those Macedonians understood. Help us to know and sense and feel the presence of your power. We pray this all in your name, Jesus. Amen. Is he off?